And now, Deirdre Nealon, editor of Upstate Medical University's literary and visual arts journal, The Healing Muse, with this week's selection.
Thank you, Linda. So much of illness involves waiting. We wait for appointments. We wait for diagnoses. We wait for treatments. We wait for outcomes. We hurry from one appointment to another, but mostly we wait. Elizabeth Carey, a writer from Oregon, sent us a beautiful essay about the waiting years between when her dad was diagnosed with cancer and when he died. I'd like to read a few paragraphs from it. This is Waiting Room by Elizabeth Carey. One time between 1997 and 2001, my dad said, "If I had my way, I would know it was time to go and would push off on an ice floe like an old Eskimo without bother or burden." With little fanfare or hoopla, my dad wanted to go efficiently and quietly. We do not live near any ice floes, let alone an expansive ocean vast enough to allow for drifting away or floating over the horizon undisturbed. Planning for any trip these days is interrupted by appointments, pharmacy runs, phone calls, doctor emails, researching experimental studies, tattoo markers, chemo needles, and oh, pain. The pain of inactivity, the hurt of sitting. This pain melts glaciers, shrinks icebergs, stops snow, and brings out the bright, bright sun to shine on our vision of the land of the Eskimos. No running, no biking, no motorcycle riding, no driving, and then no walking. This light casts no shadows, just reveals a rock-hard landscape. Out here, the enemy is predatory and elusive, if definable. It is not the cougar that stalked Dad on his last antelope hunt, the one who left paw prints in the snow larger than Dad's outstretched hand. But it is after meat and bones. It waits, stalks, surges forth, slinks back, attacks, and then sits on its haunches, hunting the hunter with no map or compass or track. Its pervasive presence shapeshifts everywhere. I see it in family, in friends' families, at clinics, in the infusion room, on the street, in those hairless or jaundiced or toothless or scarred or perfectly normal except for hollowed-out eyes. I see its shifty iterations in every body tagged with a Livestrong band. We, with those plastic yellow wristbands, are on alert. Watching for the formidable enemy, we count the days we are active one at a time. My father, an atheist, penciled future activities in his slim black monthly planner religiously, but the day he knew would come did so on its own time. Thank God for the straight-shooting hospice nurse. With her black bob motionless atop her petite plump frame, she put it to me. The force of her words pushed me back against the fridge, and I slumped to the floor. She put it to us, my mom and me, to be the ones to care for him, to help him go, to let him be, to push his ice floe into a cold, dark sea, to leave this wretched world and beautiful compassion and all the flighty antelope and sneaky cougars behind. Activity flurried and waned. We'd practiced for years. We knew how to hurry up and wait. Again, we hurried and waited. This time was for real, for love, for family. We watched our loss unfurl.